You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up today at 6 on 1A+, on the Friday News Roundup, the investigation into the January 6th attack casts a wider net, inflation hits a new high, and attention turns to two key homicide trials. That and more today at 6 on 1A+. Now, President Joe Biden was at the historic port of Baltimore this week selling the freshly passed infrastructure legislation he's about to sign. He painted a picture of what his administration is seeing in the current economy, setting the stage for the impact of the bill.
And on the good side, we're seeing the highest growth rate in decades, the fastest decrease in unemployment at this point ever since 1950. Jobs are up, wages are up, values are up, and savings are up. But we got problems, too. Many people remain unsettled about the economy, and we all know why. They see higher prices. They go to the store online, and they can't find what they always want and when they want it.
We're going to talk now about where we are economically, including the impact of inflation, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. How's your economy looking right now in your household? Are you seeing inflation, higher prices on key things where you're at? Are you one of the many people who left a job last month? A huge number of people left a job last month. Was it for something better? Maybe better paying? Call in at 800-642-1234. And when you look at the economy, what indicator do you look at? Unemployment, inflation, stock market? 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Thomas Kemp is with us, professor and department chair in the UW-Eau Claire Department of Economics. Tom, welcome back to Central Time.
Glad to be here, Rob.
Let's start with inflation. We got this number from the Labor Department this week. Increase in consumer price index of 6.2% in October compared to the previous year. Big number. How clear an indicator of inflation is that?
Yeah, it's getting to be significant. That's some of the highest inflation we've seen in 20 plus years. So while modest compared to the 1970s, it's not something that we're used to here in the States. And so it's setting people on edge a bit for sure.
We've heard from some economic officials, I think of the Federal Reserve, who have used the word transitory to apply to inflation. That can mean a lot of things. Transitory means something could go away tomorrow, or it could mean in a year, but it's not necessarily a long-term fundamental condition. What do economists mean when they say something like this is transitory?
Well, it's a bit of a hedge, isn't it, as you say? I mean, the short of it is that most economists do not believe that this inflation is sort of baked into the economy, if you will. And by that, would mean that it's getting contracted. So, for example, if you started seeing cost of living adjustments back in labor arrangements, where every year the employee automatically got a raise of 5 or 6 or 7%, or if you know firms were building those kind of increases into their purchasing orders or sales agreements, then of course inflation becomes self-fulfilling because it's effectively contracted, as was the case in the 1970s. That isn't the case at this point. So we expect the things that are causing inflation at this juncture to eventually not be there anymore.
What are those things causing inflation?
Yeah, that's a good question. And economists differ on that. It does seem from my reading the data that most of what's driving inflation at this point is business costs, and most particularly their labor costs. As President Biden mentioned a moment ago, wages are going up, but of course that contributes to business costs, and some of those get passed through onto consumers, and so we're seeing some of that with inflation.
And let's talk about, I mentioned another big number, a lot of people quitting their jobs in September in a new report that just came out, the Great Resignation, some people have called it, some are calling it the Quitening. That's just me. I made that one up. But what is driving this? Now, it's not people losing their jobs. They're leaving their jobs for one reason or another. What do you see behind that?
Yeah, that's another tough one to know. So the labor market is a fascinating thing right now, at least for us economists, because GDP is up from where we were pre-COVID. So the economy is larger inflation adjusted. So in real terms, than it was ahead of COVID, but yet we're missing over 3 million workers from the economy. So we've got fewer people producing more things than we had ahead of COVID. And why people are choosing to exit the labor market or to not return there's probably a million reasons out there.
Right. Some of it is some people have pointed it as a good news story. People are confident enough to leave their jobs either because they've got a better job lined up already or they're confident that they're going to find that better job. So in one reading of it, it's tough for business owners who are seeing people quit, but maybe it's an optimistic sign.
Yeah. You know, when we look at the data, we look at job leavers and then we look at new hires. Mm-hmm. Those two numbers track pretty nicely. So what it looks like is going on here is we're getting a lot more labor churn. So people leaving one job and then picking up another job, which, you know, most economists agree that is a good thing because you have people leaving jobs that maybe they were ill-suited towards and moving to jobs that they're better suited towards, which of course makes us all better off. Because they're going to be more productive at those new jobs.
Talking to Thomas Kemp, professor and department chair at UW-Claire's Department of Economics, looking at lots of economic news out there, some of it pointing in different directions. When we ask, how's the economy doing? You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you worried about inflation? Are you noticing? Are you feeling the pinch of higher prices where you are? Have you participated in the quitting? Have you left a job? Why? Did you move on to another one? Did you decide to retire early, maybe, because you're worried about risks of COVID at your workplace? We've heard a lot of different stories, even just here on Central Time. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Tom, I've heard from economists since early in the pandemic who said, you know, to fix the economy, fix the pandemic. How much do you see the still not done pandemic weighing on different parts of the economy?
Yeah, I think it's weighing quite heavily. In fact, if we think about it broadly, I think it probably accounts for most of the issues that we have. You know, of course, we have the pandemic, which we all are well aware of the effects there. But then we have the psychological impacts of the pandemic too, which are almost certainly at this point, you know, well over a year into this, weighing heavily on a lot of people's thinking, both in terms of the jobs they're willing to do and what they're purchasing.
Now let's turn toward the stock market. Just by the raw numbers of the stock market, it's done pretty well this year. The Biden administration not really spiking footballs on that one, not celebrating that much. And I know people often point out the stock market is not the economy. How important is it to watch what the market is doing as one, I guess, indicator, one symptom of how the overall economy is doing?
Well, it's important, right? People pay close attention to it. A lot of people have retirement plans, other interests in maintaining the value of the stock market. And people are going to make current consumption decisions. You know, should I buy a new car? What are my stocks doing? So it matters. But that said, we should recognize that, you know, when the stock market goes up, it doesn't necessarily mean that the economy is doing good. It just means that certain aspects of the economy are doing good. And conversely, it can go down and the economy could be doing well, you know, on the whole. So it's not something we should ignore, but we want to be careful when we attribute its change in value to overall economic performance.
And another, of course, thing people watch for are the unemployment numbers. A lot better than, say, a year ago as we emerge from the worst times of the pandemic. I think not still to where we were pre-pandemic. What are you watching for in employment numbers?
Yeah, the unemployment numbers are way down, right? So we're back into the low fours at this point, which is quite good by historical standards. But boy, there's still a large number of folks that left the labor market when COVID hit and they haven't come back. So we've got a labor force participation rate now of 61.5%, just about. Now, to give you some idea, that's about where we were in the mid-1970s. So that's, you know, before the great boom of the late 70s and 80s and 90s, where you had a lot of husbands and wives both working. You know, we've been moving back to almost a time before that, where we're looking at, you know, a lot of households are sitting one adult in the labor force. And so that's a bit of a mystery what's going on there. And it's certainly driving a lot of what we see in terms of prices.
We're talking to UW-Eau Claire economics professor Thomas Kemp about inflation and other economic indicators. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If I asked you, how's the economy doing? What would you say? What do you point to measure that? How is it going for you? Have you left a job lately, as so many people did, including just in September and the latest numbers out? You worried about prices going up where you are? Are you in the supply chain somewhere? Are you seeing hiccups or even burps? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation, hear from some of you, coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We continue our talk with Thomas Kemp, professor and department chair at the UW-Eau Claire Department of Economics, talking about rising inflation and other factors that make up the health of the national economy and how to make sense of them in this moment. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Love to hear your story of staying at a job, leaving a job, why you did either or both. 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go to your calls now. Sonia is with us in Mequon. Sonia, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Sonia?
So I thought it was an interesting topic that you guys brought up in regards to why people are leaving the workforce in such significant numbers. And so I wanted to share my perception on why this is, you know, happening at such concentrated levels. I feel like when COVID hit, whatever your life, whatever your quality of life was that you were experiencing at that juncture, it was extremely concentrated. So, you know, I'm a caregiver, I'm a student, I take care of the household, and I do this all on my own. I don't have any help. My mother has dementia, and I couldn't get anybody to come in and help me. And it made me realize at that time that this is really what I have to do as far as going back to school and becoming a nurse. So it made me really hold on tight to my dream. But I think people who didn't necessarily have a dream, they realized they're really what their quality of life was, what their daily grind was. Okay. And then when you factor that, it's so multifactorial, but when you factor that in addition to the aspect of, we didn't have the socialization of the outside world to dilute those experiences that we were having in our homes with our family members in that tight introspective bubble that we were in.
I gotcha, Sonia. Interesting point. And I've heard this from some callers on other conversations, Tom, that the pandemic gave people a real opportunity and impetus to rethink their lives, including their work lives. And that might be part of what's leading people to change and or leave careers. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Sonia makes a lot of sense. I spent a chunk of time at home too. And I tell you, it was nice spending time with my daughter, who was actually at home from school, and my wife, who was also working from home for a while. And it did really make me think about what we're all doing here, I guess, is one way of saying it. And that's what I hear Sonia saying on the call. And, that may be the case. We may be in the midst of a reevaluation of work-life balance in American culture. And that is going to be an interesting thing to watch, and I think an exciting thing for us all to live through and to think about, how we want to order our lives going forward from this.
Sonia, thanks for the call. We'll go to Tom now in Milwaukee. Tom, hi.
Hi. I'm trying to figure out the ramifications of the current inflation. It seems to me that a lot of the cause for inflation is the increase in wages for at the lower end of the economic spectrum. And so if more people at the lower end are getting living wages now, clearly, doctors and lawyers, they're not getting increases in the salaries in the same way. So if people are getting more of a living wage at the lower end, that would cause possibly less need for government help. So is this a good thing?
Tom, thanks for the call. Do we know are wage gains really happening to that extent at lower levels? Tom, do we have the data on that yet?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have the data and that sort of level of specificity that I would know that, but what Tom the caller is saying is correct. Inflation is always redistributive, so it moves things around society, and so we don't want to jump right on the bandwagon of saying that, you know, everything is bad about this, and we don't want to say it's good either, right? Inflation is going to change things, and it may change some things for the better. It may mean that we reduce income inequality. It may mean that folks at the bottom end up with a better wage relative to the goods and services that they have to buy. It may mean better working conditions, but it's also going to mean uncertainty too. So, you know, we're going to be less certain about, you know, for example, saving for retirement, or in terms of business, knowing what their cost structure is going to be like down the line. So inflation changes things. Some things could be better and other things are worse.
Tom, thanks for that call. We'll go now to Kent in Milwaukee. Kent, hi.
Hi. What I'm calling about, there's this mystery about the Great Resignation, as it's been called. And my thought is something that's been going on in the background for 10 years now or more is the baby boomer retirement wave. You know, that wave of people who entered the workforce is getting up there now, and that's going to peak probably in the next, you know, 5-6 years or so. And I think the peak has already passed, but I think that'll be the tail end of it, 5 or 6 years. And nobody brings that up in terms of the tightening of the workforce, I believe that is a major factor. People, retirement accounts have built up, the stock market's at a high, and people have looked around and thought, you know, I can afford to retire now. Maybe I'm going to. So people who can retire early are, and we've got that wave of baby boomers retiring that's been going on for some time.
Kent, thanks a lot for the call. And pre-pandemic, Tom, I know we did segments on, you know, Industry X or Profession X is seeing shortages because the baby boomers, as Kent was mentioning, are retiring. Now, if you're in that older group, you're also more vulnerable to COVID. Do you see that speeding up the baby boomer retirement that Kent's talking about?
Well, I imagine that's so. But it should be noted that the drop off in the labor force participation rate had been occurring for some years, and that probably was largely due to the baby boomers. But this event, this COVID event, is a specific event. There is a very precipitous drop off in labor force participation that we see when COVID starts, and it bounces back somewhat this last year, but we're just not at the levels we were before. Whereas before, we had a kind of steady decline. People were kind of exiting the labor market, but with COVID, there's just like the floor dropped out of it. So there is something special going on here. It's not just demographics. There has to be a little bit more to it. And you know, it's an interesting thing because the two ideas are related because, you know, so as I mentioned, GDP is up, but we have fewer workers. So you've got fewer people building more stuff effectively than we had before COVID. And, you know, what you're also showing in the data is that those folks are working longer hours. So you have fewer people working longer hours, making up the growing economy. And, you know, I suspect that that's also contributing to some of the issues that Sonia was talking about in the earlier call about quality of life and people really asking questions about, you know, what we're all doing here.
Ken, thanks for that call. We're talking about the economy and different ways to measure it with Tom Kemp from the UW-Eau Claire Department of Economics. Let's go back to your calls now. Rana is with us in Cameron. Rana, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. So I recently used my truck as collateral to get a small loan for my daughter to finish college. And I have a 2015 Chevy Silverado. And as she was looking up the value according to Kelley Blue Book, she told me my truck appreciated and my truck is actually worth several thousand dollars more now than when I purchased it in 2018. And I said to her, would you look that up again? Because that just doesn't seem right. Trucks don't make money. They depreciate. And that's when I thought, okay, this is real. This is really happening. And I guess that's just all I have is an observation and a comment on my part.
Super interesting observation, Rana. Now, I could see that maybe being partly an inflation story, Tom, but more specifically, I mean, we've talked on this show in the past about a shortage of cars, new and used, driving up prices that might be going on here.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I know I was lucky enough to buy a car just before COVID too, and I'm sure glad I did. Yeah, the funny thing about inflation, right, is if you're holding money, the value of the money goes down. But if you're holding real things like cars, in this case, the prices are going up, right? So the price of your asset is going up. So this is what I was talking about a little earlier, that inflation is redistributive. It moves things around. If you had bought a car before COVID and inflation, you know, now it's worth more. If you were holding cash over that period, it's now worth less. So total value has moved from the person holding the car or person holding cash to the person with the car. Similarly with housing, right? So housing prices are going up. So if you're sitting on housing, you know, you're okay. You're doing all right.
Rana, thanks for that call. In our last half a minute or so, Tom, what are you watching for next? What piece of information are you curious to see?
Yeah, I'm keeping a close eye on labor force participation. I'm looking to see whether we're going to get folks back to work, whether wages are going to stabilize. So wages have moved up. Are they going to keep moving up? Are they going to stabilize? That's what I'm going to be paying attention to, because that's what's really going to tell us whether these prices stabilize.
Tom, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rob. It's always a pleasure.
That's Thomas Kemp, professor and department chair at the UW-Eau Claire Department of Economics. We talked to him today about the state of the economy and inflation, how to sort out different economic indicators. Thanks to everyone who called in to share your own thoughts and your stories. You can keep doing that. Tweet us at Central Time WPR or email ideas@WPR.org. Coming up Monday here on Central Time, humankind has faced a lot of devastating diseases throughout history, and there may be some lessons we could still learn today. We'll talk to the author of the new book, The Plague Cycle. Plus, have you seen this in the news? We'll check out the discovery of a 1,000-year-old boat in a Wisconsin lake. That and more coming up Monday here on Central Time.